We're very thankful to be together this afternoon. I am so overwhelmed and just overflowing. Those just sound kind of cheesy to say that, but it's exactly how I feel. And so there you go. You know, I've heard preachers talk about the good problem. And it's when you have more ministers than you have time to preach. I've been to meetings this year where they didn't have time for me, and I was the happiest preacher in the whole bunch. And I got to sit back and listen. And Brother Hugh and Brother Brian, y'all going to have to come back next Sunday, and we'll give you all the time. Unless y'all stay through tomorrow, then we'd love to use you. But we just had a lot of brethren come from a distance and felt like we needed to use those. Plus, more than ever, I felt like the Holy Ghost was leading me, and I hope that was the case. And I love you two brethren very much. Brother Brian was just ordained. You got lots of time. And Brother Hugh is probably one of the older, I didn't say elderly, but older ministers among us. Of course, he's my dad, my father in the ministry, and appreciate both of them very much. And thank y'all for coming. But we are going to ask Elder... now I hear I've been thinking about everything that I'm doing. Brother Gary Rhodes, trying to get the order right. Brother Gary Rhodes come first, be followed by Elder Tracy Fredrickson, be followed by Elder Bill Allen. And that's not an order of importance or order of ability or order of love. But we can't preach all three at once, so we're going to ask in that order, and we trust that is also of the Spirit of God. And I just want to thank every one of you very much for coming to this meeting. It's been a tough year for our church here. It's been a tough year in my life. But God is greater to me than he ever has been. Amen. And I have to use that word again. I'm overwhelmed with the mercy of God and in the love of God. But I have this year, your presence at this meeting means more to me than in any time. And I want to thank y'all very much. This is where my best friends, my kindred, dwell.
Amen, brother.
This is where God, our Savior, reigns.
Yes, sir.
The best thing you can do with your best friends is honor the Lord together. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Worship is a shared experience with your best friends. Not only are they your best friends, but they are your family in Christ.
Amen.
And I have family in the biological sense, but when we are together and the Spirit of God is with us, I love everybody here the same. We have a greater blood relationship,
right.
And that's the blood of Christ.
Amen.
And if I have to have another tough year to get y'all to come back, I'll do it. How about if I have a good year and we come back anyway?
Amen.
We'll praise the Lord together. So, again, Brother Brian, I love you very much. I've known you all my life. I would have been at your ordination, but I was somewhere else that weekend. And may God bless you. Sister Kathy, all three of y'all, thank y'all for coming. It means a lot to me. And, of course, Dad and Sister Nettie, my mother, thank you all for coming. Brother Paul, thank every one of you. If I could list you all by name, but you're not here to hear me list names except the name Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So with that in mind, we'll beseech the Lord to bless us. I'd like to ask Elder Hugh Montgomery to lead our prayer this afternoon, and then we'll ask Brother Gary to come. Dad, if you would lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we have not words adequately to describe the feelings we have at this moment. The privilege of being together in fellowship with one another, but particularly in fellowship with thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. There are many things in this world that seemingly are muchly in darkness. But thank God we have this house of light that we come to, that we can bask in the sunlight of thy love. Might we ever praise thee as we live our lives throughout our lives. Oh Lord, be with us. Give us strength. Give us the mind indeed to defend thy truth wherever that we might be. Bless this service to the extent, O God, it will give praises only to thee, my God, my Savior, and the Holy Spirit. Might it be that you would bless the remainder of this service, and as we depart from this precious place, might we say it was good to be in the house of our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, what will we do without thee? What will we do without thy mercy and thy compassion upon us? What will we do without the wonderful wisdom that thou is entailed in our hearts and minds? Lord, we realize we don't thank thee enough. But, oh God, you can look into our hearts and know that we love thee with all our souls. And when it comes time, oh God, for us to lay down, might it be in the arms of sweet Jesus. And might, oh God, this thought stay with us as we continue our lives in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Bless all those that have come to worship thee in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
Bless all the churches, O God, that defend thy truths and bring the truths to thy people. Lord, we're so thankful for this wonderful gift.
Mm-hmm.
We're so thankful of the mercy thou hast shown upon us in our lives, in our family lives, and particularly in our church lives. Go with us now to the furtherance of this service. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Sir.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Apostle Paul writes, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." I heard preachers say this before trying to preach, about how my mind stirred up in many directions, and this is about as much as I've ever experienced that before. A lot of things being provoked in my mind, but I'm going to hope and trust that this will be of the Lord. This will be the text for me to try to preach to you about. Before I say that, my first time to ever be here at church at Fredericksburg, I've got something in common with you all. Brother J.P. Dale was our first pastor at Paradise. He pastored there for about a year. And then we had Brother Woodrow Wilson for 53 years, and then my dad since then. So we've only had three pastors in the history of the church. So we're kind of unique in that we haven't had that trying to figure out who the next pastor is going to be kind of search, you know, that a lot of churches have. But we need to be praying for a lot of churches that are without pastors. And, I have something else in common with you that I love Brother David very much. And Brother David did something for me one time that I didn't know for a year, or probably a year and a half or so, that he'd even done for me. And that's always meant a lot to me. And I have something more in common. We can talk about it later. But something more in common. I love the same Lord that you do. I love the same doctrine that you do. The same Jesus Christ. We have friends that love Jesus. And they say they love the Jesus of the Bible. But we have a lot different version of that Jesus than they do. We have a lot different image of the doctrine than they do. We speak a different language than they do. The people that use the 1611 or use the King James Bible, I can talk with them a lot more comfortably than I can with others. Even if we have different doctrine, we're using the same language, the same rule book, the same Bible. But, you know, when other people use these modernized so-called versions, and I say, I hope charitably, they're not versions. They come from the wrong manuscripts. But when we are trying to speak different languages, you know, it just doesn't make sense. The kids were playing their youth basketball league, and one of the practices, I told the coach, I said, well, we're going to miss the game this Saturday because we're going to be out of town for a church meeting. And he said, oh, are you going on a retreat? And I didn't know how to answer the question because, first of all, I don't know what they mean by a retreat. I heard them talk about it, but I don't know what they mean. Anyway, when you're speaking a different language, it's really hard. And I heard Sonny Huckabee make the point about that word Shibboleth. In the Old Testament, I believe it was in the book of Judges. Forgive me if I have that wrong, but where he talks there is basically like a password. They're saying, like, say Shibboleth, and if they said it like a Jew would say it, which I probably didn't, they allowed them in, but if they said Sibboleth, then they knew that that was the enemy and they would kill him. And Brother Sonny made the point that, we speak a different language than other people do. And our goal should always be to speak of the language of the Bible. And sometimes we may say, well, so-and-so so-and-so was excluded for non-attendance. Well, non-attendance is not a biblical word, but forsaking the assembly is. And there's a lot of different things that we could use for an example, but we say, let's speak in the language of the Bible. And sometimes people will tell me, say, well, if you speak in all that fancy language, it's not fancy language. It's reverential language.
Right.
And our prayer should be reverential. And a fellow that I was friends with in high school, he told me about the beginning of his prayer and how he referred to God. And that just struck me as completely odd. And I couldn't put my finger on it at the time, but said, it's not reverential. When we refer to God, he's the one that has the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Right.
It's all his, from the money in my pocket to the building that we're worshiping in and to the doctrine that we preach. It's all God's.
Yes.
And when we refer to him, it needs to be reverential, very reverential. And so let's speak in reverential language and language of the Bible. And sometimes people say, well, you got to go to where the sinner is. And Jesus did that. Of course he did. But he brought him up, right? I mean, he always brought him up. And if we speak with the language of the Bible, the goal is not so that we can be praised and pat on the back, but so that we can help bring them up. Well, in chapter 4, verse 6, going back to the text, he says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, in the context of what Paul is preaching here about the gospel being hid to those that are lost, he explains, he interjects something here and explains about, well, the gospel is not hid from us. We understand the gospel and we've been blessed to see the gospel. So lest we get puffed up in ourselves, let's remember, how did we understand the gospel in the first place? And he goes back and telling you and who it is that allowed you to understand the gospel. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, if anybody's looking for, if I've not mentioned the text, he says, for God. And then it's like he says, let me remind you who God is. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Oh, that's such an important phrase these days.
Yeah.
I mean, if we just stop there for a minute, that is such an important phrase.
It is.
I went to school for engineering, and I'm not one of those smart engineers like Brother Mark Richards, but I'm, an engineer, and went to school, and there was a professor that we were talking about age of the earth kind of stuff. And when I said, well, the earth's 6,000 or 8,000 years old, he thought I was joking. He said, are you serious? And I said, well, sure, I'm serious. And he had this look on his face, and I think he had enough professional courtesy, knowing that, the rules of school are you're not supposed to, try to cast down anything that one of your students believes or something like that, although that doesn't get followed from the, one side of our country very much. But he looked at me almost with a look of like, we're teaching you to be smarter than this, kind of a look, Well, the Bible says that the wisdom of this world is foolishness. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. He's chosen the base things to confound the wise. So we want to be base in this world. We don't want to be among the chief of this world. And if we think about, if we stick to the Bible and we say, I'm going to take what the Bible says as fact and everything else that I learn in life, I'm going to compare it to that. Well, if we think about the creation of this world, there's a whole bunch of different versions out there. And the wise of this world will change their answers exponentially, and they still think they're the smart ones. And we keep our answer consistent, but we're the dumb ones. Doesn't really make much sense, does it? They say, well, they'll change it to from millions and millions of years to billions of years. you know, changing it by a factor of 1,000, maybe. And so, well, they're the wise and prudent, they're the smart ones, and we need to just hush up and listen to what they say. Well, let's stick to the Bible, because the one that wrote the Bible, that inspired the Bible, knows more than anybody else combined, and he has all wisdom, he has all knowledge, he knows everything, so I'm going to trust him rather than the professors in school or even some of the teachers. And I thank God we have godly teachers in the school systems, but I'm going to trust what God says and let God be true and every man a liar, right? Yes. So God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. I love the subject of creation. I've got some DVDs. I'm having a hard enough time getting my Bible studying in, so I don't really read other hobby things. So I said, well, get some DVDs. When I'm doing stuff with the kids or whatever, I can pop one in and try to learn something while I'm busy with something else, right? So I'm watching one of these, and it was about had to do with the age of light. And they're talking about this light, and the fact that here are these light sources, planets, stars, suns, they're millions of light years away. It takes millions of years for the light to get from that spot to here. And they'll say, see, this, the wisdom of this world will say this confounds the Bible. There's no way the earth could be 6 or 8,000 years old because the light is too old to have gotten here. And they'll also say that this proves that your Bible is not true. And the people that gave this, they're very biblically based, wonderful Christian people, I believe. And they couldn't answer it either, but they said, but let's look at their definitions, their ages, and their ages still aren't old enough for this light to be here. Well, they showed the biblical version, then they showed given some defense, and then they gave the wisdom of this world's view and said, you know, here's how we disprove theirs too. And they, in the end, their summary, which I thought they're going to get back to, here's the answer, they kind of let it go, and they said, you know, really, they're just as on shaky ground as what they claim that we are. And that's a valid thing to, a case to build. But I kind of felt empty, like, wait a minute. You know, I've just watched a movie and haven't seen the end of it. And it's really a pretty simple answer. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. When he made Adam, Adam was a grown man. And when he made a tree, trees and plants and fruit, they were fully grown. And I will argue with every ounce of my being, I trust, that God will give me grace. When he made light, he made it look mature. Yes, sir. Not only that, but when he made light, he intended the light to be used for this planet Earth that he made, that he put his creation on. Yes, sir. So wouldn't it make sense? He knows we're going to need light, that he would bring it through the solar system to the point that it needed to be for the Earth to have the light shine on it. Wouldn't that make sense that he would make the light aged enough? Just like the rocks and the hills and all these things, that if you're on day one, you would do carbon dating and say, oh, this is thousands and thousands of years old, you know, God would be able to say, no, I just created it today. Yes, sir. Yeah. He made light the same way.
Yes, sir.
He made light the same way. Mm-hmm. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. How did he do that? Let there be light. How are we born again? Live.
Yeah.
You know, Paul said when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. What commandment? The commandment to live. The commandment to live. He spoke our inner man into existence the same way that he spoke light into existence. Let there be light. And he also made that inner man completely mature. You know, one of my, you might call it a Garyism, is there's no birth defects in the new birth. When we're born again, we're not born debilitated. We're not born paralyzed. We're not born with some kind of debilitating injury. We're born again with a perfect inner man. Now you may say, well, my Christian walk didn't start too good. Well, mine doesn't go very good either. I'm ashamed to say it. But the point of that is when he spoke life into you, it was perfect. It was a citizen of heaven, fit for heaven at that very moment, without sin. And the Bible tells us that that which is born of sin, that which is born of God committeth not sin.
That's right.
So that which was born in you, the day, that the moment that he born you again by his life-giving voice and the commandment to live, when he did that, that being inside of you was absolutely perfect, righteous. Here's the humbling part, just like Christ.
Amen. Right.
Just like Christ inside of you.
Just
like Christ inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible uses that term. So he reminds us who God is. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's work a little bit backwards. There's a glory of God. God's got glory. God deserves glory. And the Bible tells us here about this glory, it's in the face of Jesus Christ. I'll be glad for you to ask me questions about this after church, but I'll probably have to tell you, I don't know. But when Jesus Christ, the Word, was in heaven, he was a spiritual being. He came to earth. He was made like his brethren. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then after the ascension, he goes back into heaven. He's now all God and glorified man. So there's been a change in him from the time that he was there before all of eternity with God the Father. He said, restore unto me the glory that I had with thee before the world was. He was always there from the very beginning and before that. And now he's come back to heaven, still all God just as much, but also man in a glorified state. Now you say, so there's a change in the Word. There's a change in Jesus Christ from the time he was in heaven before until he's come back now, seated at the right hand of the Father. Now he's a glorified person on top of being all God. I hope I haven't said anything wrong about that, but I believe that's exactly true. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the way I understand that. So now he's got a human face that's glorified, and the glory of God is in that human face of Jesus Christ. So the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay, the Bible tells us here in this verse that there's a knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So he's given us knowledge. And again, back to the context, Paul's, I think, making the point, don't get puffed up because you know it and others don't. The only way you can know it is because he's given you the ability to know it. Amen. And he's given you the eyes to see. So he says, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Well, what's that light? I believe that light is the light that he refers to in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, when he says, he giveth to every man, that's the measure of faith, And John chapter 1, where he says, he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man that cometh into the world. Okay, now first of all, he's not saying everybody that's ever been born or conceived, he lights them. That's the world of his believers. That's the world of his people. That's the world that he died for. He lighteth every one of them. Every one of them is born again. Brother Danny mentioned John the Baptist in his mother's womb, the thief on the cross in his dying hours. At some point, God will born again his children. He'll put that light inside of them. Jesus said, no man lighteth a candle and hideth it under a bushel. God lit a candle inside of you. He put a light inside of you. He does not intend for you or me to hide it under a bushel. He wants our light to so shine that others may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven.
Amen.
Not to glorify us, to glorify our Father, which is in heaven. So he says, hath shined in our hearts to give the light. I believe that light is that born-again creature inside of you. And with that light, we're able to have the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ our Lord. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he shined in you the same way. You were filled with darkness, but he commanded light to shine in you. May God bless you.
Amen.